This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 29, 2021. The Memorial of St. Thomas Becket by Father William Doc Holliday.
Light of Revelation to the Gentiles.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be accepted in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ came as a light, the light in the Gentiles. But we have to be cognizant of something. If he's come to be a light, how come there still remains such darkness in this place? Well, that is because we have to embrace that light, and most do not. Hence, we hear the words of the last gospel at almost the end of every Mass, and it says that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We have to ensure that we have embraced the darkness, and it is no tremendous mystery as to whether we have or not. That first reading today from 1 John chapter 2, it gives us the way that we can tell as to whether or not we have embraced this light, if we're letting it shine in our lives. And now when I say that too, it can make it sound, when we hear this discussion, like a little commercial for this weekend's homily, we have to understand that the light of Christ burns brightly all the time, just like the sun. The sun shines as bright as it does at midday, as it does midnight somewhere else. There is some place on the face of this planet where it's the middle of the day and the sun is shining very brightly. We look outside and what do we see? Darkness. It doesn't have anything to do with the sun. It has to do with the movement of the earth. The same thing applies spiritually to the light of Christ. He is always burning brightly. He is eternal Son of God. But we have this tendency to, let's say, move around in our spirituality. And when we move around, sometimes it's not as bright as other times. But as I said, there is a way to determine whether or not we are working at, anyway, having this light shine in our hearts all the time, whether it be to a lesser or greater extent. How can we be sure of this? That reading from 1 John, it explains it to us. How can we be sure? The first thing is that we have a supernatural knowledge of God. Now, that can sound very ethereal. It can sound very transcendent, this supernatural knowledge. That's really not. It's belief. It's why are you here on a Wednesday night when you could be a lot of other places? You are not bound to be here on a Wednesday night. You are not obliged to be here on a Wednesday night. Why are you here? Well, it's Christmastide, and I wonder, for some of us in here, because it's Wednesday night. I always go to Mass on Wednesday night. It's the only other Mass I can get during the week. That's great. That is supernatural knowledge. It doesn't have to be, anything weird. Seeing visions and seeing lights and hearing things and speaking this way or that way. It's just a belief. This is a supernatural knowledge of God. We Catholics, we believe all kinds of stuff that other people who claim the title Christian, they don't believe it. They don't believe that bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we believe it? Why do we genuflect when we come in here? Why does the priest, after the words of consecration, genuflect every time before and after he touches that body of Christ? Why do we do that? Because we truly believe that it's no longer bread and wine. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prove it. This is faith. It's not proof. He demands faith. He doesn't demand proof. That whole Thomas thing. Thomas, you believe because you've seen and touched. Blessed are those who will believe and not see and touch. That's us. It's belief. That is a supernatural knowledge. Can't explain it. Explain the Trinity, but we believe it because why? God has presented himself that way. This is supernatural knowledge. The fact that you're here today would be a very good indicator that you have that supernatural knowledge. Okay? You're not just in here because. This is that knowledge. This is a proof, a surety that you have this light in your life. The second thing, and this is what the first one sounded very, very ethereal, transcendent. The second one is much more practical. As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, just like the other one, you take it into the transcendent world too much, you can be too practical on this one. And the practical part is keeping the commandments. That's what the first reading says. The question is posed, by this may you be sure that we know Jesus Christ. If we keep his commandments, well, you just say, well, it's believe. It is. This is not an either or proposition. It's both and. We do have a supernatural knowledge, but that supernatural knowledge is manifest in our keeping the commandments. And not just the 10, but all the precepts of our Lord, worshiping the way we're supposed to, the way the church always has, teaching what the church has always taught. These little things are very practical, but it is not a matter of dotting I's and crossing T's. It's not a matter of personal taste. It is a matter of the practical presentation of and rule of life of this supernatural knowledge. These two things cannot be separated. I've got supernatural knowledge. I believe in Christ, but I don't do this and I don't do that. Well, then you don't have supernatural knowledge because you can't thumb your nose at Jesus Christ. You know, he does not present a salad bar to us. I like this. I don't like that. I'm talking to Father Jason today, and he had a discussion with somebody other, and the person kept saying, well, I don't like this, and I think this, and I think that. It always sounds so base when I say, I don't care what you think. That's the bottom line. I'm not here to please you, or please Jesus Christ. And pleasing him is presenting what he said, everything that he said, not just what's palatable in our day and age. So these two things are inseparable, the supernatural knowledge and the practical presentation of this knowledge, faith and works. Faith and works, they are not one or the other. I mean, I have personally been presented that before by the Protestant minister. He and I, friend of mine, we're having lunch. And as you can imagine, we agree to disagree on a whole lot of issues. He went there to faith or works. What is it? I said, both. You can't have it that way. It's what the scriptures say. Why can't you have both? Because James said, you show me your faith without works and I will show you a dead faith. Kind of weird, you know, this whole faith alone thing. The only sentence in those scriptures where faith and alone are in the same sentence is faith is not alone. It's never alone. It's there with our works. It's got to be proven. It's got to be imagined. Yes, if you come here more than a couple times, you hear it said again and again. But as long as I have breath in my lungs, you will hear it again. We have to prove things to God. We prove things to him. This is that whole, you show me your faith without works and I will show you a dead faith. The Holy Spirit's letting us know. And go home and Google it. Proving things to God is everywhere, Old and New Testament. He demands proof of us. He demands we live our faith. In a nutshell, you know, as the first reading went on, keep the commandments, you know, this will prove, you know, have this supernatural faith and this will prove. This is really all tied up in supernatural manifestation of what is the commandment that our Lord said. You know, also, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love your neighbor as yourself. The summary of the law, this law of love. Love God first and foremost, because if you love God first and foremost, you cannot help but by consequence love your neighbor. okay, because we love our neighbor. Is it because our neighbor is all that and a bag of chips? No. It's because he bears the image of God, no matter who he may be. So we love him for the sake of God, not for his own sake. This is the law of love. This is, in a nutshell, what proves. And the way that is presented in our day and age, what the law of love, that means saying everything that makes everybody feel good and don't ruffle any feathers and things like that. That's not love. That is not love. And a lot of times you do that, you can be proving your hatred for somebody. You let somebody sin, a family member, or somebody, you let them live in grave sin, mortal sin, and you don't say anything about it. Guess what? You hate them. I do not. I love them. I don't want to offend them. You hate them because you don't care the destiny of their soul. This is the reality. If you truly love someone, you will present to them. You will correct them. That is a teaching of our church. It is a corporal work of mercy to correct the sinner. It shows your love. Today, the memorial, it's kind of an interesting day today. If there's only one mass said in the church, it has to be for the Christmas mass, but you can commemorate the saint of the day, who is St. Thomas Becket. So if we had two masses, like one in the morning and one in the afternoon, we'd have done the Christmas mass in the morning, St. Thomas Becket in the afternoon. But when you put the two together, you wear white, you don't wear red for him, but he's still honored. And when you look at a saint like that, he proves this law of love. He grew up a very worldly person, friends with the court. Everybody loved Thomas Becket. He's a riot. He go out and play with Thomas Becket. He goes hunting. He does all these kind of worldly things. He hangs out. And then the king, hey, Thomas, I'll make you bishop. I'll get with Rome. And they'll be, Thomas, no, you don't want to do that. Yeah, be bishop. We hang out. It'll be great. And no, you don't want to do that, Highness. No, be the bishop. All righty then. He gets with Rome. St. Thomas is made a bishop. And guess what? He becomes a good bishop. And he shows his love for God first and foremost. He doesn't show his love for the worldly things that we go on back and forth about. He starts to manifest this intense love for the church. And the king is like, what? Oh, yeah, king, you're not allowed to do this to the church, and you can't take the money that the church is giving. What? And St. Thomas bucks the king. Doesn't go well. King runs his mouth in a meeting and says, who is going to rid me of this meddling priest? You say that around some guys who want to impress the king, they'll rid you of the meddling priest. Just like the man celebrating Mass at his church, and they killed him on the spot. They killed him at his altar. That is the law of love. Love for God first. He even loved the king when he told him, no, you can't be doing this because you encroach on the rights of the church. That's a sin. So he loved the king and tried to correct him. What did it get him? Death. That's the law of love. Okay, so it's not always this warm and fuzzy preoccupation that we have in our day and age of not offending anyone. If you truly show a love for God, you will stand up for him. This is the law of love. This is what proves of a surety that we have this love of Jesus Christ in us as it starts out. So, as we go through, particularly Christmastide, we see this light that is spoken of in this world. We have to understand that light, again, it burns intensely and invariably. We are the ones who kind of have good days and bad days and kind of do like the earth and kind of spin around. And we don't notice that the light is still very bright somewhere else. So we always have to orient ourselves toward that light and prove to yourself by doing it, by that supernatural knowledge and the practical outgrowth of that knowledge, which is living a life of faith. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.